another episode of Tech at Work with CNBC TV18.com, the show where we talk about emerging technologies and trends and how they're reshaping the world. We talk to the CXOs who think like disruptors and act like startups. I'm your host, Reema Tendulkar. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about the impact of artificial intelligence in healthcare and how doctors, hospitals, patients, and all the industries which are tied to healthcare have been impacted by advancing technology. Welcoming Anand Deshpande, the CEO and founder of Persistent Systems. Anand, you've been working a lot on healthcare in the last 1 year, especially the impact technology is having on it. What have been your key observations?
So I've had the good fortune of meeting a lot of experts in the healthcare area in the US over the last 12 months or so, and had a good opportunity to learn from them what exactly they find in the market and what is going on. And due to certain economic reasons and other reasons, more and more people are trying to explore what value-based medicine means. And in general, if you look at today's healthcare systems, they are very much skewed towards focusing on the really sick and the elderly patients who today contribute to a large percentage of the spend in the healthcare market. When actually the a healthy lifestyle and keeping people out of the hospital is really going to give you the best advantage. In fact, there is a study from the World Health Organization that mentions that almost 50% of the health outcomes depend on healthy habits and personal lifestyle. About 20% have to do with the environment and the physical environment where you live in. Another 20% or so is on genomics, and about 10% has to do with the specific medicines and the medical attention and care that you have with you. So when 50% of your health depends on healthy habits, we do so little to work on that aspect of it. And that was really an eye-opener for me in the last 12 months of talking to various people that I have talked to.
Okay, and what percentage of the spend is actually on keeping people healthy? And what percentage is being spent on critical care?
So they say that almost 80% of the hospital bills or expenses that the hospitals have are all on the critical side of the healthcare side. And let me explain this in a slightly different way. So, normally if you find people who are over, so if you look at an individual's lifespan of say 80 years or whatever, typically the first 40 years or so, people are very young, they are healthy, they never really go to a doctor, and normally they have some very minor costs as far as the individual is concerned. When you get past 40 or 45 or so, you'll find that most individuals will have certain parameters on their considered normal just slightly off, whether it is blood pressure, blood sugar, or any of the normal parameters that people try to measure. Now, unfortunately, while these are all important parameters, if you go to a doctor today to try to get treated on that, there is a claim that nearly 70% of the people who actually go to a doctor for getting treated at these kinds of stages are either overtreated or undertreated. And the reason that is the case is because the whole healthcare system is not conducive to supporting these kinds of patients, where the ability to make money of these patients is very limited. So what happens is that you end up into situations where individuals are not treated all that well. By and large, it has been observed that if you can keep people who have minor symptoms in the minor symptoms zone for a very long period, meaning by improving healthy lifestyle and health habits, then you can ensure that they do not get into the critical stage for a very long period. And managing patients and individuals in that zone for a long period is really going to be critical to get better healthcare for us in India and in other parts of the world. So then the question is, what do you do to get people in that zone who are in the, say, the early 40s to the 60s, where the situation is not very critical, but some healthy habits can be enforced or managed or work together to somehow get to a healthier lifestyle, then thereby reducing the potential cost to the system over a long period of time.
Okay, and what role can technology play in trying to make sure that we can detect diseases early or try and be healthy, especially in that age group of 40 to 60, to try and bring down the overall cost? What role does technology play in all this?
No, so the technology plays a very important role for many reasons. First, the fact is that, the medical practitioners as such are going to be busy treating the really sick patients. So the number of people who are available to deal with this population zone, which is sort of not that sick, actually, they are doing quite fine on their own, is really small. So using technology for diagnostics, so how do we get people to measure their parameters seamlessly without actually having to go to a doctor or with limited doctors? Or can we create a cadre of health navigators or sort of semi-specialists who are not entirely fully trained but as medical doctors but have the ability to do diagnostics, measure blood pressure, blood sugar, these kinds of things, and self-help tools on that area? That is one part of technology that I think is very important and worth investing in.
Is that something what we call virtual health assistants?
No, that is one part, but definitely the diagnostics part of it. So how do you get people to identify and look at what challenges or parameters need to be tracked? Once you have gotten them, then once you find out, okay, your blood pressure is high or whatever else, then how do you treat these patients? Now, most of the treatments that are needed at that point are a combination of medicines and combination of, healthy habits. And both of these actually have a huge compliance issue. One of the biggest problems that healthcare systems have in this zone is that while people know what they are supposed to do and know the medicines they are supposed to take, the compliance in this group is really low because there's no immediate consequences of not walking today or not running today or whatever else. So these are all long-term consequences. So we as individuals tend to kind of forget or blow off these kinds of things very regularly. So creating a network or group of people, how we can enforce these so that we can create peer pressure, peer activities, creating health navigators, creating people who have an interest and motivation, both financial and otherwise, to keep the community moving so that you are able to address this is sort of very important. And in that case, again, identifying what does it mean to be in that zone, identifying tools and gadgets to help individuals stay motivated in terms of the specific activity level they need to do, using Fitbits and other kinds of solutions to identify that, and creating these virtual groups of communities who can then monitor each other so that you can get the right results is also another place where technology comes into play.
Okay. The other place where technology is having an immense role in healthcare has been in the electronic health records, because documentation has become a lot easier with voice recognition and dictation. And more importantly, information retrieval has also become a lot easier with technology coming in. Give me your thoughts on that.
Yes, I'm going to share two sets of things here, one from the individual point of view and the other from the sort of system and hospital point of view. So from the hospital and systems point of view, clearly there has been an effort to sort of electronically record all the activities that happen in the hospital context. Unfortunately, that is not enough, because we really need an individual to have their own personal life history of whatever happened, not just in terms of the medicines, but also in terms of the activities that they were involved in and all the other life events. So clearly there is a need to say that, how do I get my own personal health data available to me and be visible to me, and something that I can keep and carry with me? And it does not belong to the hospital, it belongs to me. So that is a whole activity that needs to be thought of, as to how do we provide each individual the ability to manage their own personal health vault in some form or the other. And the hospitals, of course, need it for treating the sick patients or critically ill patients. And even if individuals go to them, that fragments of information, while it's important and useful, it's very hard to sort of bring it all together, because, if you go to 5 different places, you buy medicines from a different chemist every time. There is no consolidated record from an individual's point of view, and that's really a challenge with many of the healthcare records as they are being put up today. So how do we convert it to an individual-centric health record system is very important. In addition to that, I want to mention a couple of other things. See, today, in my opinion, we do not understand medicine as well as we thought we knew 5 years back. In the last 5 to 10 years, some of the new discoveries that have happened have really exposed the fact that there is a lot to learn in medicine. And as we learn more and more, we find that there are many more aspects of medicine that we are not very familiar with. So understanding and having data and access to a large population of health records is going to be the key to the success of, getting better results in medicine. So I think we are going to have to take some important decisions and think through this privacy versus privacy for, you know, overall good. Because, you know, having information about lots of patients who have the same problem and the kinds of things that have happened is equally important. While I want an individual to protect their own personal records, it is important that we share enough information about what's happening to us so that, you know, real advancements in science can happen because of the common and large pools of data sets that can be made available.
So you're saying while electronic health records are great, there are still challenges in accumulating or collecting all the individual-centric details and keeping it safe and secure, which means that personalized healthcare, which is basically that I will know the probability of me contracting a particular disease, is not going to be that easy to effect, even though we've got the help of all the technology?
Yeah, unfortunately, that is the case. And also, you know, as I mentioned earlier, and you would realize, the health records that the health system is going to maintain are going to be about the parts that you were sick and you actually went to the hospital. If you didn't go to the hospital or you did not have your personal Fitbit records and other things that you do for your wellness, they are not going to come into the same healthcare record. So we have to find a better way to have every individual look at their own personal records. And like you pointed out about personalized healthcare, that's a huge problem and a challenge and an opportunity as well. And as we look at every individual, we find that every individual is slightly different and hence is going to need a very personalized approach to treating that particular individual with a precise drug or a medicine that is appropriate for that particular set of things that you need to be dealing with. So this problem of how do you identify individuals, their particular challenges and putting it all together has become, it's a very complex science, and I think we are still at the early stages of it.
Okay, so the possibilities are immense, but it just seems a little more hype than reality in effecting actual change right now. What about terms like genomics, proteomics, cell biology? These terms are being thrown around a lot. If you could just elaborate a little bit more on that.
Oh, yeah, sure. See, again, you know, I would like to say that, see, what has been observed by and large in the last few years is that we know very little about an individual and the entire aspects of medicine, health, and well-being. And there are still many aspects that we haven't quite figured out as science to be able to correlate this precisely. So what has been observed in the last few years is that genomics about 15, 20 years back was felt like if you get the full DNA sequence of an individual, you would have the entire roadmap to that person's healthy life and everything else. But it has been observed that that alone is not enough. And there are many other aspects of our body, which are, you know, the microbiomes that sit inside our, you know, gut and in our intestines and many other microorganisms that are in and around our body actually have a huge impact in who we are and how we feel and how we should get treated. So a lot of the work that was on DNA sequencing, while it addresses a certain set of activities, some of these biomics, transcriptomics, and all the other things are starting to become equally important. And as we learn more and more about it, I think it will help in reducing the, being very precise about the treatments that are offered. And we need to look at these holistically in a way where it's not just about when you are sick, this is what you need to do, but this is how you live, this is your life, and how you make your life healthy is really the objective, and it should not necessarily be about the drugs that we have to take.
Okay, so technology can help in data collection. You can analyze it for diagnostic purposes. It can help in creating a medical community, which can help people take greater control of their own life and live healthily. Any final words, Anand, that you'd like to leave us with on how you see technology impacting healthcare in the future, say 5 years from now?
Right. So, you know, I must say that I was quite a novice in this area a few years back. In the last one and a half years, I've really had a eye-opening journey talking to a lot of people in this area. And I'm amazed as to how much technology can have an impact in this area and how much more there is for technology to do in the next 5 years. As they say, you know, our lifespans are increasing, and there is a dream that what would it take to have individuals live like they are 30 for 50 years, rather than just extending your life at the end. And that's sort of where the eternal quest is. And technology has a big role to play in ensuring that we stay in that healthy zone for as long as possible, rather than ever getting sick. And if we have to live long, we might as well live long, healthy. That's really the goal of where I think technology can play a big role. That said, I think we are still at a very early stage. We understand very little about our own human bodies and how they interact with different things, and also how medicines and various diseases interact. So there's a lot of work that needs to be done in the research involved in getting to that point, and then eventually putting technology to use for you and I, so that we have healthier living, and more than us, our children have a better life.
Anand, thank you very much for your time. With that, it's a wrap on this edition or this episode of Tech at Work. I, Reema Tendulkar, will be back with another. Thanks for watching.